is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, where we proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. My name is Sharon Sarles, and I'm going to talk to you today about the crisis in public education. The crisis. Our children are in crisis. First off, we've got some serious sociological problems, some societal problems. We've got 15% plus of our population in poverty. We've got 30% plus of our children being born in families without fathers. We have a widening gap, increasing problem of academic success. Now, you may be saying, oh, I thought we addressed that. Well, yeah, it sounds like we've addressed that. It does sound that way, but you've got to understand statistics. When College Board scores are recentered, and you can't see the visual, but I always put my hands like I'm holding a baseball or a grapefruit down. They've been recentered in a downward fashion, so 1600 today is not as high as 1600 was when I took the SATs. And similarly, James Popham, 2003, gives you a good explanation how all these statistics, it looks like all these tests, that the scores keep going up and up, but the tests keep getting easier and easier. So we've got students today going into high school who really can't read, who feel entitled to grades, and that's the worst, that's much worse than the beginning. So they may know a little bit more about science, you know, because more science is known. When I went to high school, we didn't know, you know, all that we know today. And so, yes, high school science is a little bit harder, has more in it. But if they don't know how to study by the time they get to college, that's bad. But if they know they don't have to, and they know that if they push in a certain way, they will get the A, that's very concerning. The moral abyss is upon us. We are in crisis. And we could talk about a few other things like health and integration and so forth that the schools have been used for. But are we in racial harmony? And are our children healthier? The answer is absolutely not. They're just not. Statistics can be made to lie, but if you know how to read them, no, we're not. We continue to have a great gap in terms of what our children get based on socioeconomic status. Our kids are being bullied at a rate never seen before. They are being depredated by sexual predators at a rate never seen before. We are inundated by an ocean of porn. The very self-esteem that we've been teaching has made for pride for students who are not useful in the workplace. Folks, the plane is going down and is getting pretty close to the bottom. And we have people who know this. Back in the 90s, a woman named Hillary Clinton wrote a book called It Takes a Village. She was urging public policy to address the plight of children. And she was right in her statistics. But the policies we have made those statistics worse. And she is running for president and will probably promote the same things if she has time to get beyond foreign affairs and domestic economy. If she gets back to her love, which I salute her that she does care about children. But these policies are not working. and when your plane is about to crash, flying faster and still being pointed down is not all that you need to do. We need to change course. We need to change course. You say, but how can we do that? We asked for increased rigor and we got more tests. We actually got less. Yes, we did. Dr. Karstofen, who was superintendent of Austin Public Schools, argued against these tests, or so many of them. She said, you know, I've got it figured out. When we teach children, they do better. Yes, well, she also wanted them to come to school, but there were too many days of tests. This is true. But when we make the tests as easy as we could possibly make them, and then we make the teachers teach to them, we are dumbing down the children. And I don't think that's what the population wanted. Right? But now they all feel palliated that, oh, you see, our children are doing better. Well, I'll tell you who's angry in my metro area. It's the Asians, the Indians, and the Koreans, and the Chinese from places like Singapore and the Japanese. They're hopping mad because they want their children to be able to compete on the world-class level. So they're making IB schools in our public schools and so forth. And may that tribe increase, because we have to have public schools, folks. But the problem is that creates a gap between them and everyone else. But I'm here to tell you that there is some help. But I want it firmly established. We've got a crisis. The government is not that village, folks. Yes, it does take a village. And yes, it takes parents primarily. But those parents who are able need to be the village for everyone. And all of us need to be village for the parents. Support the parents. Of course it takes parents. So I want to talk to you about being the village. The good news is that we do know how to rear children. We knew how to rear children for millennia, and it's encoded in the Bible. And I don't even have to say anything, because if you're 50 years or older, you probably know exactly, you probably can quote a couple of scriptures, but you know that I would never do that, because I have a college education, and I, unfortunately no longer, have a job teaching. I couldn't possibly say that. I couldn't possibly quote those verses. Wait. Run that back by me again. Sharon, you know that you could never quote certain verses of the Bible? That's right. There are certain verses of the Bible, primarily about parenting, that we can't quote because that wouldn't be politically correct. I don't think my liberal friends realize how much of an enemy to free speech they are. But you know what those verses are, don't you? Yeah. And children were much better parented 3 decades ago and much better parented 5 decades ago than they are now. 3 decades ago, we might have gotten an argument about it, but we don't think so. We do know how to educate children. So let's talk about character formation. Hallelujah, we've got some data. Let's talk about academic performances. What is the number one predictor of academic performance? Well, guess what? Robust and repeated research, all collected in one place, but nobody knows about it. If you ask my sociology colleagues what the number one predictor is, they'll say income of the home. And that's right, that's number two. If they're really sociologists of education, they might quote James Coleman, 1986, and say it's the expectation of the adults around the kids. Check for that. If you ask an educator, they'll say it's the amount of dollars spent on education. Well, of course, that makes a difference, but that ranks a low third. The number one predictor for academic performance is, ding, 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 religious affiliation. You want a citation? Let me give it to you. James, J-E-Y-N-E-S, 2003, is a book that is a meta-analysis. Let's see if I can give you the title of the book, Religion and Education and Academic Success. Many studies show that if the school is religiously affiliated, and they were Jewish and Christian schools in the study, then those students will outperform. And in fact, even controlling for level of money, level of income in the home. Similarly, an individual student who is religiously affiliated will outperform compared to the other students in his high school. This is huge, folks. And why don't sociologists know about it? And why don't psychologists know about it? And why don't educators know about it? But fortunately, you do. So you can move on it. Move on it. So get your child into some education that's religiously affiliated, whether it's a school or your home school. Now, it doesn't make sense unless you posit the reason for that. I mean, a rational, secular sociologist with this finding would say, of course, the reason must be because of character formation. If you teach the children to work diligently and be honest, of course they're going to do better in their studies because they know how to apply themselves. Well, I would definitely agree with that. So, teach your children well. Discipline them. That means make them disciples, learners. Do it in a developmentally appropriate fashion. I agree with that. Address the whole child. Absolutely. When you live with them. Teach them when you're standing up and sitting down, when you're going out and when you're coming in. Isn't that what Deuteronomy 6 says? Yes. Amen. And it goes on to say that you and your family and your nation will be blessed. And that is the center of this broadcast, too. Our verse is Isaiah 54:13. All your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom, their total well-being. And we can preach healing, and we can preach health, and we can preach protection. But let's admit, it says, and your children shall be taught of the Lord. Then shall they have great shalom. Amen. So go out and be the village. Teach your children. Volunteer your services to a neighbor, to a friend, to a relative, and to your church. Show that you're a Christian. Teach the children. And when you go vote, inform yourself about the public policy. And let's be the village. Amen. Now, if you're interested in this topic, please come to the internet and buy my book entitled The Government is Not a Village. And in fact, there is a website dedicated to this book and to conversation about it, www.thegovernmentisnotavillage.com. And there you can click through and buy the book, www.thegovernmentisnotavillage. And I think whether you're conservative or not, well, if you're conservative or a liberal, you will find that your ideas are challenged there. And the answer to our public policy is as I have suggested here. We need to get back to the foundation of this nation if we want to get back to being great. It's after the election, so I think I could say that. And we all must be the village. So, nobody gets a free ride. But there are some answers, and that's the good news. God wants total well-being for all children, and He set it up so that if we work together and do the correct thing, we'll actually get that. That's wonderful news. So, if you would like to come and discuss that idea. The government is not a village. Of course, you can always come to thegreatshalom.org. Be happy for your comments there as well. Please share this broadcast, this podcast. Please share, because we need to invite other people into the project so they can also be part of the village. Yes? If you'd like to correspond with me, you may do that over email at info@greatshalom.org. Info, I-N-F-O, at great, like big, G-R-E-A-T, shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M .org. greatshalom.org. info@greatshalom.org. And you may write me in the regular land mail fashion at P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. P.O. Box 971 Cedar Park, Texas 78630. Please do write me. Please allow me to pray for you and for your children, for you and for your school. And you, please pray also for your children, for your schools, and for this broadcast. And this is Sharon Sorrells, continuing to proclaim that God wants total well-being for all children. And the good news is that you can be part of that project.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom Broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom Broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.